You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of No Other Pod.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to No Other Pod. I'm Jimmy, along with my good buddy Dan. Dan, we do not have a game to talk about this week, but that doesn't mean there's no shortage of content. What's going on, my friend?
Doesn't mean we don't have a special surprise for you coming up. It's a great day, man. It's a great day here on the pod. Conference semifinals are set.
Whew.
The world keeps on turning, man. In Major League Soccer, it's getting exciting.
It does. We now know, as everybody expected, in the Eastern Conference, we have the number one seed, the number two seed, the number three seed, and the number four seed, who are in the conference semis. And in the Western Conference, we have the number one seed, the number two seed, the number three seed, and the number eight seed Sporting Kansas City.
Why'd you say the number one? There's the number one's gone.
Oh, I guess they are number one. Oh, sorry. Seattle. We beat the number one. I was thinking Seattle was number one, but
you have two or three.
I've now ruined my whole bit. My whole bit is now ruined.
It's just done. Yeah, no, the one's gone, and we just look like the little guys. Just, hey, we like to play too. Like, just a bit, that eight never felt so large among all these other higher seeds, right? Yeah. It's like we're just, oh my God, we just crept in there. But hey, man, we're year after year, it just shows that team can do some damage. That team that squeaks in there at the end, you know?
Yeah, I meant number two seed, number three seed, number four seed, and number eight seed Sporting Kansas City. Obviously, I got my bit all jungled up, but
yeah,
this is, you know, it's essentially chalk except for Sporting Kansas City upset the number one seed St. Louis City. And look, now we know we got to go on the road to Houston. We got to play them in what's probably going to be an empty BBVA Compass Stadium because it's always empty.
And so fill it up, Sporting people.
It's on a Sunday night, which makes travel a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But if you can get there, get there. Peter Vermees said that they need the support. So
that'd be wild, man. That would be wild. It is, dude, year after year, you see that it's not about the team who played the best the whole year that do well in the playoffs. It's who does well at a specific time.
100%.
Like St. Louis was the one seed,
mm-hmm.
but they certainly didn't play like a one seed leading into the playoffs.
No.
And Sporting KC all year played like a team that probably should have gotten that wooden spoon.
Yep.
And then they squeeze in and start playing like a one seed, for God's sakes.
Yep.
So shit's about to get real in Houston, man.
That's always kind of the way it goes. That's the weird thing about the way that MLS works is if you look at sort of teams that have historically won, yeah, sure, sometimes it's the team that's the best in a given conference that ends up going on to win MLS Cup. And then there's other times, you know, where it's like now, Sporting Kansas City, the eighth seed sneaks on in. When Portland won it in 2015, they were the third seed. They weren't, you know, even close really to the top of the standings in either conference. So this happens sometimes. And if you look at the teams that are left in the Western Conference, Houston, who we got to play. And if we get past Houston, Seattle and LAFC, Sporting KC have had success on the road, at least in terms of earning results against all three teams this year. So,
dude, it had like they've drawn Houston, they drew at LAFC. Our non-winning streak was broken at Seattle.
Yes.
So it's like, it's crazy, man. It's just wild. Anyone can beat anybody on any given day. Houston is so good at home. We'll probably, you know, we got a good couple podcasts here to really talk about that game. We don't need to go all in just today, but like they've been very good at home. I think going to penalties here might be something to look at, but I did read some predictions that someone put up on MLSsoccer.com, and they predict SKC 4-3 on penalties.
Ooh. Okay.
Right. So it's, you know, take it for what it is. Predictions are ridiculous in soccer here, so
right.
It all means nothing.
Right. So we'll see. Like you said, we're gonna break down that game more over the next couple of weeks, especially next week, probably leading into the game. Before we get too far into the episode, we did have a new review that I want to make sure we touch on. So this one, little special shout out to you, maybe.
Let's talk about it, Casey Mustang. Appreciate you. They say good stuff. Exclamation mark, 5 stars. I am enjoying the show. And that's it. That's all they said.
there's one more sentence in there.
they did. Oh, okay. I missed it almost. It says, please keep that rock choke J-puke crap off my SKC pod.
Oh, no.
Rolling on the floor, laughter face.
I'm spiting words.
You know, we're just going to go ahead and delete the review. No, I can't. I can't delete it. I don't know how. But, hey, thank you for the review. Sorry you don't like a winning basketball team, but football team right now. It's,
I'm going to say Mizzou just, I don't know if they're Mizzou fan, K-State fan, whatever they are. Mizzou just.
If they're K-State fan, it's coming this weekend, man. It's going to be crazy.
Ooh, are you calling your shot?
No, I just said it's they're playing this weekend.
Like, okay. I thought you were like, the Jayhawk storm is coming.
No, you know, our producer, Nick, he's real fiery. Like the he likes to write checks and see if they bounce or cash. But I'll tell you what, last weekend, man, just to touch on this real quick, you knew KU was going to lose that football game because Patrick Mahomes was there supporting Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, goodbye. We're done.
Well, you know, if Bean might have stayed in the game, you know, you never know. It's tough to throw a freshman in that situation.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, it's I will say on the KU front, I have not been to Allen Fieldhouse. I know I've lived here for about 10 years. I know it's one of those things.
Should we go?
Do, like, probably. I have coworkers who are always like, we got to get you to Allen Fieldhouse. I'm about to let you know exactly how ignorant I am about the traditions of KU basketball and Allen Fieldhouse. I saw my coworker, he put up a video. He was at the game the other night at Allen Fieldhouse of something that was happening before the game that everybody was chanting in unison. And I messaged him and I was like, what is this church chant that's happening in the basketball arena? I was like, I don't understand what's happening. And he's like, it's the rock chalk chant. And I was like, all I know is that my Episcopal ass growing up, this sounds like I'm sitting in there and the priests are chanting and we're all chanting back. And I was like, that's what it sounded like. I don't know what this rock chalk. I was like, this sounds like Latin that we're chanting.
The body of Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I get that. Dude, one of my favorite, when I was living in Chicago, I got to go to the Champions Classic. We played Kentucky and I had excellent tickets in the United Center. And also we had tickets to the Alumni Association's tailgate party beforehand that was held offsite at some facility with free drinks. We're talking beers, scotches, whatever. Now, why am I going to get a beer, by the way? Why am I going to fill up on that?
You know,
I
can just go
get heavy pours of scotches for free.
Yes.
As wild night. Let's just say your man ended up singing karaoke after the game.
I'm sure it was wonderful, too.
But the Champions Classic is this week. Yeah, true, with Little Righteous Brothers. But that the Champions Classic is this Tuesday in Chicago, so just kind of brought up little memories for me. Hell of a time.
So one of these days I need to get to Allen Fieldhouse is the moral of that
story. Let's all go. Grab Nick. Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm sure he knows all the good spots.
You can get affordable tickets last minute.
Sure. Yeah. I just got to make the trip. It's fun. So I'll do it. Well, there are a few things that we want to touch on regarding Sporting Kansas City. Before we get into, at this point, if you read the episode title, I'm sure you know it. We're being joined by a sporting legend, Jimmy Conrad.
Whoa, that is weird. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say Jimmy's no Jimmy's. Just gonna call it right now. I feel like you guys are going to hit it off.
Yeah, he's a hilarious guy. He's a big personality. You'll see him on CBS. You'll see him all over Twitter, you know, trolling the trolls back. It's hilarious. Yeah, he's going to be good. You made fun of me because when I messaged him initially to ask if he wants to come on, I started the message with yo-yo, and you were like, what is that?
I was like, what kind of unprofessional shit are you doing?
I was like, no, Jimmy's no Jimmy's. It's fine.
Oh, my God, that was insane. Hey, you like my new hoodie?
Oh, that. Tell me about that. Where'd you get that?
Product placement. Well, I got it for free, my good friend BJ. man, it's a new little partnership they got going on with Sandlot.
Yeah,
is that what it's called?
Yeah,
the AC company. I thought the koozies were pretty cool, man. Call them like can sweaters. Sandlot Goods is what the place is called.
Yeah,
you know, little product placement hoodies. Nice, dude. I like the sleeves. A lot of times sleeves can be too tight, and I can't really roll them up.
Yeah,
and they roll up
high quality.
I love a good roll up. But yeah, a lot of merch. I wonder if some, there's coasters they got us, but I think that we're going to need like some SKC color stuff too, man.
I bet we could.
Can you imagine a little sporting blue hoodie like this?
We could work on something. That'd be fun. Yeah, if you like his, like if you like Dan's hoodie, or there's t-shirts, there's coasters, there's
stuff on the back too.
There's stuff on the back.
Design.
All sorts of KCSN stuff. Go check out the KCSN socials. Some of the proceeds go help the KCSN Foundation. There's good work that's being done there. So check it out. Rep the merch. Let them know that Dan and Jimmy sent you.
Tis the season. It's warm.
It is. It is. Let's talk a couple of other things that are happening in Sporting Kansas City. Obviously, there's the playoffs. We're going to talk about that more a little bit with Jimmy. We're going to talk about that next week. There's some international games that are going on. Gotti Kingdom made some appearances for Israel, at least one by this point. I don't know if he's made another one, but at the time of this recording, he made an appearance for Israel. Somebody got called up that I didn't necessarily expect to get called up and miss time, at least practice time between now and the next game. And, you know, if things go well, this won't really matter much. But shout out to John Pulskamp. He got called up to the U.S. Men's Olympic National Team U23 squad as they're prepping for the 2024 Summer Olympics. He's going to be there with them when they face Iraq and Morocco.
He could potentially compete for a gold medal next year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know they're just trying people out right now. I don't think he's really got the starting spot on lock or anything like
Not
that.
Yet.
But, hey, man, even if he went as a backup, even the backups get medals, baby.
Yeah. He's made, he's played for the U18s. He's played for the U20s. I think he even got called into camp with the senior national team. He didn't make an appearance, but he got called into camp. But I wouldn't be surprised if I see some other former SKC players on the squad. I mean, Gianluca Gabuzio has been one who's played with the Olympic squad. We might see a little Jalen Lindsay action, depending on what kind of form he's in at some point. There's a couple of guys who have gone through the Sporting KC. I mean, man, I'm not going to call my shot now, but if somebody by the name of Jake Davis continues to play,
at
the way he's playing at right back, you'd think he'd have to get a look at right back at the Olympic team next year.
Why wouldn't you take a peek? I'm so excited to watch meaningful men's soccer in the Olympics again. It feels like it's been 84 years.
Yes.
I mean, we're like, oh, okay, women are playing again. Women are competing for a major prize here. But where are the men at? You know, they just never got back into it. So
it's just pretty excited. Never really got to do it. So hopefully this is their chance. We'll see. So,
no doubt.
I would be remiss if we didn't mention, and I forgot that this happened since our last podcast, because it feels like it's been 84 years since this announcement, but we recorded our last podcast before Logan and Denbe's season ending injury was announced.
We did. We did.
We were, indeed. We were gushing about Logan, understandably so, because he was the one who kicked off the scoring in both games against St. Louis City. Peter Vermees was talking about the heart-to-heart they had and how much of a difference it made over the course of the season and how Logan really had developed and had this left-back position on lock. And then we find out that Logan injured his knee in probably the 62nd minute of that game against St. Louis City and then continued to play for 44 more minutes on a torn ACL.
It's just crazy, man. It's just crazy. I like to... You know, quick little analysis about that, though. I look back and say, okay, he's been great on defense, too, in these recovery runs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take his goals away, you still win that first game.
Mm-hmm.
And the second game goes to penalties. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's like,
sure,
it does not harm you. But, like, he's been so strong defensively and playing that other pass and just being an option and a threat so people could close on him and open up shallowy or something.
Yeah.
It's going to be different, but you can't even dwell on it. You can't. You have to stay believing.
Oh, for sure.
You have to have that next man up mentality.
Yeah.
Because apparently there's a guy named Tim Leibold who we brought in thinking he was pretty good left back.
Yes.
And he got a little hurt for a minute, and Logan came in and shined. And I think it was Tim's spot to lose. And then Logan was like, I got this.
Yeah, that's the good thing. That's you know, people look back to the Tim Leibold signing and you're like, okay, somebody's got to be the odd man out. Turns out it was Ben Sweat. Someone also pointed out that Ben Sweat leaves Sporting Kansas City, then kind of goes on their little run that we had. So correlation, causation,
dude,
who knows?
Was that this year?
Oh, yeah.
Ben Sweat played for us this year?
Ben Sweat played for Sporting Kansas City in the year of our Lord, 2023.
This has been the longest year of my life. I'm like, dude, we went to Vegas a year ago, and I'm getting like memories and stuff. And I was like, that was last year.
Yeah.
That felt like years ago. I think moving kind of puts 2 years on your life.
Yeah. We talked
changing jobs.
We talked to Ben Sweat at Media Day this year before the season.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Man, that was wild.
So it's but you're right. Tim Leibold, he kind of took on the role of starting left back and was playing pretty well and then got injured, illness. Logan Ndembe comes on. So the point is, we have two starting quality left backs in Leibold and Ndembe. And you're right.
Supposedly.
At the end of the game, with the score line, we'll see. But
why wouldn't you think about moving Jake Davis over there and bringing on Graham Zusi?
Don't mess, reliable. Don't mess with Jake having the year of his life on the right side.
You think he can't go have another year on the left?
I think he could.
On here going, excuse me, folks. I know what I'm doing.
You want to do that in a do or die game on the road against Houston?
House money, baby. We're just playing. We're just having fun. It's a game.
I don't know about that. I leave Jake on the right.
Here.
I put Tim Leibold on the left. Leibold was great. See what happens. Now, it does suck because we don't really have a backup left back at this point. I don't know if that's Robert Voloder.
Lucy's on the side like this.
So, but just, hey, shout out to Logan. He's going to miss the first half of next year probably with this. It's going to be June at the earliest he's back. So
I did hear that he pulled did the other one, tore his ACL on the other leg before.
Previously, yeah.
And so he knows the recovery process. He knows what to expect. That's kind of cool. But, I mean, I will say that doesn't really translate to everything. My father had a hip replacement, and then years later, just recently, he went to go get a second one, and it's not the same. He's like, no, it hurts so much worse.
It's worse. Now, hopefully Logan, you know, his was a little bit more recent history, so he knows the road to recovery a little bit. And look, if Aaron Rodgers can supposedly make his miraculous fake science recovery in like a matter of 2.5 months from an Achilles, then maybe Logan can come back a little early. We just let's crowdsource some dolphins, because apparently dolphin sounds is what you need. You just go, you hang out with dolphins, and Aaron Rodgers is saying that's therapeutic. I don't know.
Is that what he said?
He says all sorts of stuff.
That man is on another planet.
Well, in
whatever drugs he's on, let's talk about it.
You and me need to do an ayahuasca retreat. Is that what you're saying?
Look, I'm open to giving
a shot. We'll record right after.
Could you imagine?
So
we'll be way too sweaty, bro. Dude, you know what? There's a place in Vegas. I'm pretty sure I told you about this. It's called Dining in the Dark. It's called Blackout, and it's a vegan restaurant.
Yeah,
but you don't see your food, man. The waiters have like night vision goggles on, but it heightens your senses incredibly. Mm. You walk out of there and you're like, this is a euphoric feeling. It's unbelievable.
I need it.
Nick says no thank you because he's scared of the boogeyman.
Well, no, I will eat. I'll say I'll try everything at least once, but I need to see what I'm eating.
Why?
Because I want to know.
But you'll know at the end. They'll tell you what you ate.
Yeah, but I don't want
to
put...
You get to like make your own... like adventure type.
Do you know how disconcerting it is to take a bite of something and have no idea what flavor profile you're about to get?
Yes, and it's awesome.
I know, I hate it.
I ain't even playing with you, man. It's a fun time.
Anyway, shout out to Logan and Ndembe. Hope you get a good, quick recovery.
Why is he agreeing with you over here? Why is Nick agreeing with you? What are you guys? You guys probably put ketchup on green beans, children.
Absolutely not. I just want to know what is on my green beans. That's for all I know, I could be in the darkness. They could be feeding me ketchup on my green beans.
That's not a thing. Okay, go eat your grilled cheese and your apple slices, kids.
The last thing I want to mention before we take our break real quick is, did you see this sporting studio thing they announced at Power and
what the AF? I did.
It's like an event space / retail store that I think is a permanent fixture that they're just like expanding their footprint at Power and Light beyond no other pub.
That's wild. Like, is it just a store for sporting stuff?
It's a retail store. They say that there's going to be some unique items that are unavailable anywhere else. So
interesting.
It's Sporting KC's taken over, I guess, the Power and Light district.
We'll have to stop in there and check it out. But yeah, I saw them announce this and I was like, okay, I guess we'll get our first look at it on Black Friday. I think they'll have an event there.
Yeah, it's coming Black Friday. You're going to be able to see it from the KC streetcar. It's going to be basically at the Power and Light stop at 14th and Main. So, it's going to be just a couple blocks down from No Other Pub. So by the end of, a couple years from now, it's just going to be Power and Light brought to you by Sport and KC.
That's pretty dope. And you know Casey Current's going to be integrated in there somewhere too, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I'm sure. So,
wow.
Pretty cool. But anyway, let's take our quick break. And when we come back, we'll be back with sporting legend Jimmy Conrad.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, y'all. Welcome back. We are joined by none other than the sporting legend himself.
There he is.
Conrad.
Oh, I thought Brecky was going to be here, but okay, it's fine. I guess I'll step in. I'm excited to be here, honored to be on the show, and obviously thrilled with how well Sporting Kansas City's been performing, especially towards the end of the season. It's like the opposite of how the season started, you know, and that's the beauty of MLS, guys. It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
That's right, exactly. And, you know, I wasn't going to bring this up, but, you know, not how you start, how you finish. I'm also a USC fan. I know you're a UCLA guy. Mm. It's that type of time of year. It's that week.
Interview's over.
So,
Where'd he go?
Yeah. I'm going to be at LA this week for the game. So
okay.
We'll see. I know we're both trying to finish strong. So
yeah.
We'll see how.
Well, it goes. I wish you not the best of luck.
That's okay.
Yeah,
we clearly need a lot of luck based on how it's been going. So, but yeah, thank you so much for being here, and
of course
we appreciate you you coming on to talk some shop with us. So
yeah. Jimmy, let's just jump into it, man. Talk about this. Gosh, MLS playoffs are upon us. Sporting Kansas City's in the conference semifinals. The season obviously started in a way that, you know, nobody wanted. Players, fans, coaches, everyone was just kind of hitting that panic button, right? what were your thoughts on how things started and about what the players and coaches were able to do to turn things around and salvage the season?
I think what's interesting, and this is a hat tip to Peter Vermes. I always appreciated him as a coach, and he had always a clear vision of how he wanted to play. And the fact that he stayed strong to that vision, especially this season, knowing that when guys got back and were healthy, and not only just healthy, but what is it, sporting fit? I should put air quotes, sporting fit, and like, you know, playing to the level that we know they're capable of, it does change the whole complexion of not just how we attack, but how consistently we attack, how dangerous we become in transition. And once you start to get that belief that, hey, this is the team, and you can see what happens. And it all obviously worked out that we got to play St. Louis in the first round, who I correctly predicted on Morning Footy on the Golasso channel on CBS Sports, and which is awesome that there's a 24/7 soccer channel, shameless plug on that. But but I went on there and said, it was so obvious to me that Kansas City was going to win both legs, like both the first two games. It's just hard when you're the number one seed, obviously, for a lot of different reasons. But the fact that we did to St. Louis is pretty sweet. But with regard to the contrast, we have a team now that is finding its rhythm at the right time. And that's very cool. And again, a testament to Peter for staying and his coaching staff for kind of sticking through. Like, it's all going to fall into place. Just keep buying in. And it has. And now you can see that the buy-in's complete. And not only do the players buy in, so do the fans. And it makes such a big difference when you go into the stadium and you know that you've got a team that's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
For sure. You mentioned Peter Vermes, and obviously early in the season, especially amongst the fan base, on the online fan base, there's always questions when a team's not playing well, you know, do you make a move? And his contract that he signed before the year didn't make things necessarily easier. And there's probably still some valid criticism for how things were handled on earlier in the year, but he did turn it around. I know you yourself were even a voice talking about at some point the league evolves and the style of play evolves enough that maybe somebody has to give up more control than they'd want to. So how do you look at that now, given what they were able to do in the back half of the season? And what do you think still stands true as, you know, something to keep in mind in the future as the league does continue to evolve?
I would say that criticism was fair. The team wasn't playing well. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that you have injuries, there are different teams around the world, not necessarily isolated to MLS, and that still figure out a way to survive and potentially thrive without having all of your full players available. So yes, is there, when I think about Kansas City, are we developing enough young players that can fill those gaps? You know, where are the Eric Palmer Browns coming through? And I know, you know, we have a young boy, I can't even think of his name right now, on the right back.
Jake Davis,
yeah. He's become a player that we're counting on, right? And has now displaced Graham Zusi in that spot. And it's very cool to see. So there is evidence of it, but you'd like to see more of it, I suppose, that you have an incredible infrastructure that Peter has helped develop with the ownership, and they're investing a lot of money, and you just want to see that turn into more tangible players that are actually, if there are injuries to significant players, that we have younger players that we can trust. And so maybe that wasn't as evident. Maybe it wasn't happening. And I think that's where some of the criticism came. Now, if he had not gotten that 5-year deal before the season started, I wonder if the decision would have been different after those first 10 games.
Yeah.
But the owners handcuffed themselves. It would have been really weird to fire some guy 10 games into his new 5-year contract. So they had to kind of stay in it. And in fairness, he did have a couple, not say excuses, but he had obviously some viable reasons as to why the team wasn't playing as well as it is. And now, you know, they've got the fruits of their labor have kind of really shown through. And again, credit to Peter and the coaching staff and the players for performing, right? They still have to go out there and perform. And it's been cool to see. That said, in terms of the evolution of the league, I don't know all the things behind the scenes, right? We're all on the outside looking in, so we don't know all the intimate details. Is Peter getting all the right tools that he can to succeed? It feels like that. This ownership group has invested a lot of money into infrastructure, into stadiums, into Alan Pulido, into all types of different things, right? And taking risks on different players. Omar Bravo stands out from a long time ago. And some of it hits, some of it doesn't. Some of it doesn't. I get the sense that they're giving him the tools that he needs. So if he's not having success because of that, and there was a bit of a barren run, right, of not doing well in the playoffs and not having that early success he had, I think about 2013 a lot. So I don't know. His legacy is intact. They should build a statue for the guy for everything that he's done for the sport in the city. You know, as a player, developing a youth club outside of it and a pretty big infrastructure in the youth side, and then getting back in and obviously having, you know, a lot of success as a coach. And but to your kind of where you're going and what I'd said earlier, there might just be a time where he's got to decide, do I want to be a coach? Do I want to be the sporting director? It's a big job for one person to handle. And I think at times he needs to share some of that. I don't know if he trusts everybody like he trusts himself, obviously, but
yeah,
it's a big conversation to have. I'm sure you guys talk about it a lot.
Yeah. Well, and it's tough too, because in modern MLS, I feel like, you know, 5-10 years ago, it was much more common to see sporting directors, technical directors who are also managers. Mm-hmm. And with the expansion side you're seeing come in, it's much less common now. You see there is a technical director or a sporting director separate from the manager who can handle the game-day operation. So, you know, like you said, Peter's not one to let go of control. And at some point, it'll be interesting to see if he does.
I agree. I wonder what the catalyst is for that, right? And or the breaking point. What's interesting, when I look at Austin FC, we'll use them as an example, because my former teammate and former roommate with Kansas City, Josh Wolf, is the coach. And when the whole Claudio Reyna thing broke, with all the news around Gio and Greg Berhalter and all that stuff, Claudio stepped aside from his role.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, Josh had to assume a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just too big of a job now, right? I mean, there's just so much demand on that time to have to do all the minutiae of what a sporting director has to do. And then, oh, by the way, I got to manage the egos of 25 to 30 guys, right? You know, and make sure everybody's feeling, it's just a lot. And I think that was too much for Josh or anybody at this point to handle. And he looked like he was tired more than I've ever seen him. I don't know what he would admit to or not, but I had heard that he had to take on that responsibility and it was a distraction. And so now that they have a sporting director in place, I wonder how Austin rebounds. But I'm just using him as an example. I know with LAFC, I'm very close with John Thornton, and who's the sporting director and president, and Steve Cherundolo. And I don't think Steve wants any part of, like, yeah, he'll chime in on certain things, maybe players assign, whatever, certain type of player profile that they're looking for. But then it's on JT to go find those players, right? I mean, that's just a lot of extra work that I don't think needs to be put on the shoulders of the coach as well. So I assume, or I'd hope that Peter's looking to, I don't know, maybe Benny Feilhaber was somebody he was identifying as somebody that could come in, whether from a coaching capacity or even in the front office. I don't know. I don't know what's going to please Peter, because he's just looking for, I think, a version of himself that might not exist. But it's going to be interesting to see how that evolves, because at some point it's going to happen. So I guess that's me inviting myself to do it. You know, I'll do it, everybody. You know, I'm ready. I've done the media stuff, clown nose, clown shoes. I'm ready to be semi-serious and have awesome press conferences and have a lot of fun. But one step at a time. Sorry, I got ahead of myself.
Well, at the end of the day, Peter might just be the one getting the last laugh here when we were all, you know, talking about him losing his job back in May.
Sure, 100%. You can already see him kind of making comments about it.
Oh, yeah.
little side snide comments, absolutely. I do want to get back to the St. Louis rivalry a little bit. Jimmy, when you played here, our rivals were kind of Chicago and Houston. Basically, just geographically, those were kind of the closest teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't quite like this. This rivalry has been amped up. These teams have played 5 times this year, with Sporting taking 3 out of the 5. What are your thoughts on the rivalry as a whole?
I love it. To reference back to when I was playing, we used to have great games against LA Galaxy, especially in the playoffs. And we'd always seem to run into them in the playoffs. And it felt, because those games had a little of that juice, got a little chippy, like that's how rivalry games should be. And so we're like, oh, Galaxy's our rival. Galaxy's like, no, man, the Earthquakes are our rivals. You're like, oh, okay, cool. Then you're like, Chicago, you guys are our rivals. Like, nah, Columbus is kind of our rival, you know? And then we're like, Houston, to your point, we play them a lot, all the time. Like, nah, Dallas, man. You know, and now Austin, we don't really have time for you guys. And then Salt Lake's like Colorado, dude, Rocky Mountain. Just like, God damn it, we can't find a goddamn rival. So the fact that St. Louis came in is awesome, right? Because it's geographic. You know, you're battling for a state, even though we own both states, Kansas and Missouri. And you know, you just need a game where fans can really travel en masse. You can really create an atmosphere that there's something on it. So I'm glad, actually, that St. Louis were very good. It would have been kind of crummy if they were like Chivas USA in year one, where they won 1 out of like 31 games or whatever. So well, that would have been kind of fun, I guess, to kind of start the rivalry. But I actually glad they got out hot. And I'm glad it played out the way that it did, where when it mattered most, guess who came out on top? But that's only going to add to the allure. I was living in New York City when NYCFC came into the league. So I was there for the early derby games between the Red Bulls and NYCFC. And those, they still felt a little, I'll say falsified, but it didn't have that juice yet. Mm-hmm. But then the Red Bulls went to Yankee Stadium and put 7 on NYCFC. And from that point on, that shit kicked off. That was like that. They just needed that.
Yeah.
That little bit of history. Like, we got something on you now. And NYCFC had a chip on their shoulder in a way they never had before, because it didn't exist, right? They needed to have some history, needed to have some games against each other. And that one is like the game. And the Red Bulls still talk about it. NYCFC still talks about it. And it's a great motivator for both sides. Now St. Louis and Kansas City seem to pop off right away. But now that they got better of us in the regular season, but we got the better of them in the playoffs, it just, now you're already looking forward to next year, right? It's just got something different in a way that the fire just doesn't feel the same. The dynamo doesn't feel the same. Yeah. You know, it just doesn't have that, but something about St. Louis. And I think it's just proximity. And obviously there's a lot of commonalities between the two cities and a rivalry that already existed that lives outside of this of soccer.
For sure. You mentioned it's already popping off. It's been popping off on Twitter, especially online amongst the fans, and it's great. what needs to happen in terms, and maybe it's already happened with the way it sort of transpired regular season and then playoffs, but on field for the players to feel a rivalry in the same way the fans do? Because I feel like sometimes the fans feel it earlier maybe than the players do, because like you said, the players aren't necessarily from Kansas City or St. Louis. They don't have that ingrained, like, your city versus your city thing. So from a player perspective, is it really just you have to have the reps on the field against each other in the big moments?
I think so. You know, as I kind of referenced the 7-0 game between the Red Bulls and NYCFC, you kind of need, you know, a game where one set of players can dangle another result in front of the other. And so I think Kansas City has that now. Like, okay, regular season guys, you were great, but when it mattered, we were on top. And had it just been really one-sided, you don't have that as much, but now it kind of went a back and forth.
Sure.
I think it just ramps up the emotion faster. And I do really look forward to next year, because now you have a bank of games where people still have something to prove. Kansas City, obviously still the big brother in this one. You know, putting their hand on top of the little brother, St. Louis, his little brother's trying to swing and get something at him. But, they actually have done an excellent job in terms of team building and obviously coming out of the gate hot with a really nice stadium and everything else. But it's early days. So, and what I love too, I'll just say this as an aside, it forces Kansas City to have to get better in a way that maybe they wouldn't have had to do otherwise. They can't settle anymore, right? They have this hot shot across the state that's trying to one-up them in every area. And that's what's cool about this type of rivalry, is not only does it force you to be better on the field, force you to be better off the field, it forces you to be better at your academy level, it forces you to be better, you know, at your MLS Next Pro team with Benny coaching and all that. Like, all of that, every time you play them, in every single way, it's a competition every time. And so that is awesome. And that's something that I don't think we could replicate with any other club. So when you think about other rivalries around the world, I think about River Plate and Boca Juniors in Argentina, Barcelona, Real Madrid. Yeah, they hate each other, but they also benefit from each other so much. And I think that Sporting Kansas City and St. Louis can or already walking down that path.
You know, it's so cool to see that, you know, Kansas City's ingrained in you. You spent a good chunk of your life in this city, you know.
I had babies born there, you know. I mean,
it means something, right?
Yes.
So, what's it like when someone comes on to Twitter and says that you have moved away and you aren't allowed to have an opinion?
I was deciding. So, yeah, somebody tweeted at me. I was talking trash to St. Louis, and I was doing it because it needs it. Like, we need former players to chime in, whether it's this rivalry or another one. Where, hey, guess what? Even as a former player, it still matters to me. Like, I still want to stomp on St. Louis. Like, I want to make that happen. And I felt good that we were going to get results. So it was great. I was in a great space. But yeah, basically this guy said, oh, I saw you live in San Francisco and you're not allowed to have an opinion if you moved away. And the guy did, he tried to backtrack. He did not know that I used to play for the club. There's
absolutely
no
not.
Chance. And so I just politely let him know that I'm in the Hall of Fame and I feel like I should have an opinion always. I tried to be polite about it. In fairness, I wrote one that was a little bit more kind of a dick. And I backed off of that one.
No.
Yeah, I backed off. I mean, more often than not, everybody does it, right? You're like, I'm going to text that person. I'm going to, this guy, they're going to get the best of me. You're like, write this one. And then you're like, it's probably not going to be in my best interest. So you go delete. But I kind of went there. And then I still got my point across, but I did it with kindness.
The simplicity of it was perfect.
Thank you.
And I just think it's wild that the fact that if you move away, you're no longer allowed to support a team.
Yeah, that's you, right? Not even me. It's like anybody, right? You're not allowed to support a team that you love and are passionate about.
In fairness to them, he couldn't have known that you played because soccer wasn't invented until 2023 when St. Louis invented sports.
Yeah, that's funny. It's funny. It's invented in Portland and then it's invented in Seattle and invented in everywhere else. Atlanta. Now
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah. A lot of, I would say, SKC fans gave this team probably a better chance going into this past series against St. Louis than maybe some of the pundits did. I know, you know, if you look at MLSsoccer.com and sort of the tiered teams that were put up, Sporting were in the bottom tier of playoff contenders. And understandably, when you lose 4-1 and 4-0 on the road, but if you looked at the advanced metrics, something we've been talking about on this podcast, those games were closer than those score lines suggested. So what do you think it was about the changes that maybe Peter Vermees or the club made in these last two games against St. Louis that led to such drastically different results than those road losses they had earlier?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think part of it, I'm looking at the starting 11 in the last game at home. I mean, you have, when you have Shalloway, Polito, a healthy Polito, obviously Johnny Russell's different gravy when he gets going too. I mean, you have a really nice balance. And if Polito's holding up the ball well, like we saw him do to great effect in both of the games, it just changes how the team transitions, as I mentioned earlier. And teams can't can't stack up Johnny Russell anymore. If Polito's really active, it's so crazy. It's the little things that Polito does that ultimately makes the biggest difference. The hold-up play, maybe making a darting run in behind the back four that opens up space for somebody else. Gaddy Kinda being healthy and being a part of that. Like, we go from having, what do we have, like one out of four of those guys actually healthy for most of the season to two for a while, then three, but maybe not match fit yet. Now we got four of those guys. And it just makes a big difference. Of course, Ndebe scoring, what, his only two MLS goals?
Sure.
Good time to make that happen, you know? So it'll be interesting to see how we make up for him being hurt. But ultimately, when you have a collection of players that are all kind of locked in at the same time and are doing the little things that are necessary, not only for themselves, but for the collective, we have evidence of what that looks like. And I think St. Louis was right to get beat, frankly. I knew that we would go into St. Louis and get a result. I didn't know if we would win, but there was no way we were going to lose three games in a row there. Just not, like, I've played for Peter enough. I've also been in those situations, no matter who the coach was. And it's just so rare for a team to slap you three consecutive times. And because they hadn't played in a while, because they had a lot of hype. And also, I won a supporter's shield. I don't know if I won a supporter's shield, but I was close once. And when you're that good for that long, at some point, you're going to have an emotional drop-off.
Sure.
Or they didn't win a supporter's shield, but they won the conference, right?
Right.
So there was still this sense of accomplishment. Look what we've done. We, like, exceeded expectations as an expansion team. And because they had to wait for a while, we got to cut our teeth in a must-win game against San Jose prior. I just think we got into that mindset a little bit quicker, it just was like kind of perfect storm of everything. But I think that getting everybody on the same page, having our center backs starting to tighten things up, all like these little things started to all happen at once. And when that happens, we're a tough team to break down and beat.
I saw a stat leading into that game. It was something like, When St. Louis has less than 40% of the possession in the 9 games they played during the regular season, they won 8 of those games. When they had more than half of the possession in 10 games they played, they lost 9 of them. So they're a team that actually, they're a counterattacking team. They don't do well holding the ball in possession. And Sporting forced them to have half or more of the possession in both of those games.
Yeah.
So as a defender, you were a center back, obviously. mm-hmm. when you're go is it a little counterintuitive or what's it like trying to prepare for a game where you're like, we actually want the other team to have the ball more? How do you prepare for that?
No, it's great actually, because you probably identify two or three players on the other team that you know, like, they're just going to play simple, right? They're not going to make the game. So if you go in and say, okay, we're going to take Lovin away and we're going to try to just be right up the backside of Klaus every time he touches it, and he had a whole bunch of donkey touches because our pressure was good, and you know, and you just make things difficult for certain players, and then kind of give. This happened to me when I was younger. I remember we played Necaxa down in Mexico City in a preseason game. This was still with San Jose, and the other team, obviously speaking Spanish, they were talking amongst each other. I had one of my Spanish speaking teammates tell me, hey, they're just letting you have the ball because they know you're not good enough to hurt them. and that was a challenge for me. And in the second half, I picked it up. Like, I started making more forward passes, right? Breaking the lines. But I was playing really simple and really safe. And that just became really predictable. And if you're going to set up in that way, it's not hard. You just say, hey, we're going to give the ball to Watts or whatever from St. Louis, or you know what, Tim Parker, yeah, he's good at being a good defender, but let's see if he can make the game. And I actually remembered the Manchester United Villarreal Europa League final. This was like many years ago with like 85 penalty kicks. And Villarreal, Unai Emery was the coach, and he just let Lindelof and Eric Bailly have the ball. Those guys can't pass for shit. So just let them have the ball and make the game. And it was like the most boring game of all time, but highly effective for Villarreal as they went on to win and got the results. Went into penalties. Now we want to go into penalties too because we got Tim Melia on our team. Sure. So it's not that hard, and it's actually kind of fun because once you give somebody the ball that doesn't want it and they don't know what to do with it, and you've taken away all their options, you're just smiling and laughing the whole time because now your plan is actually working. And I could see how Kansas City used that to their advantage and really stifled St. Louis in particular. Houston's a different gravy; they can hurt you in a lot of different ways. So for me, and because I think they're a little grittier and a little bit tougher than St. Louis, I'll do respect to the St. Louis team. But obviously winning the Open Cup and knowing they can be a tournament-based team and go into tough environments and get results, Houston becomes a little bit more of a challenge, but in a different way. And obviously in a one-off game, it becomes different. I went down to Houston. I mean, we were in playoffs one time. Sorry, just you wind me up and let me go. I'm just going to keep talking. But we played Houston in a...
2007?
Conference semifinal, conference final.
Mm-hmm.
And that was tough. I know that the stadium's different or whatever, but that humidity still exists, man. And it's tough. And if they get that first goal, and especially the buzz around the team right now, it's not an easy place to play. And obviously our history with them is they seem to get the better of us at times in the playoffs, but hopefully this time will be different.
All right, hopefully. You know, quick step back. You mentioned Logan Ndombe, his injury,
mm-hmm.
Tore his ACL, obviously out for rest of the year, good portion of next year. Have you ever had an injury where you just – played through it, because this man played another 44 minutes on this thing.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. I mean, the more I hear about it and I watch the game, like, God, what? How is that even possible? But yeah. Adrenaline is incredible. I broke my jaw against New England Revolution. Clint Dempsey got me, and I went off the field because they checked for a concussion or whatever, and I couldn't really talk. So I knew something. I just thought I broke a bone in my face. I didn't realize my whole jaw. I mean, that's essentially what a broken jaw is, but I just didn't think it was as serious as it was. And my adrenaline was so high, I went back in and I played the next 40 minutes with a broken jaw. Different than an ACL for sure.
Sure.
But I remember after the game talking to one of my old college teammates who came, it was in Boston. And I realized how much I couldn't talk. And then I went to dinner with Sasha Victorine afterwards and I couldn't chew. And I knew I was in trouble. But once that adrenaline goes away, then the pain seeps in. From what I understand, you can tear a knee ligament, even as significant as an ACL. And as long as it doesn't, I mean, his quad, ultimately your quad's got to be in Deme's quads. He's got Quadzilla, you know, this guy. So I could see how his other muscles are kind of keeping everything intact. But the cutting and stuff is pretty remarkable that he would be able to play at a high level with a torn ACL. That just means the guy's a freak of nature.
Yeah,
there's no other way to say it. That's why I would have just stopped and started there.
you mentioned Houston a little bit. They're a different animal, obviously, and they're very successful at home this year. 11 wins, 2 losses, 4 draws, I think, during the regular season. And mm-hmm. and like you said, it's kind of a different environment. It's not necessarily because they pack the stadium, but they have other advantages. What do you expect from Sporting KC in this game? Obviously, Houston has some key players like Hector Herrera in the midfield, is a very, you know, talented and seasoned player, and then a couple of decent goal scorers, Baird and Bassey. But like you said, this game feels like it's a different style than St. Louis altogether. So I guess the good news is, like you said, Sporting just have to get to penalties, and then they're feeling pretty familiar. But what do you expect from Sporting going down into Houston?
Well, I wonder how we approach it, because you have to figure out a way to limit the impact and influence of Hector Herrera. I mean, the guy's been dropping assists all over the place, and he pops up in different areas too, which I guess you can do that because Artur has been so good at kind of holding that space in front of the back four for Houston, that it gives the freedom to Herrera to find different areas. Like if Quiñones goes high up the field and almost plays as a second striker, Herrera kind of drifts into that left pocket. So there's got to be a lot of talk, right, between Jake Davis. Is he going to step into that space? If Quiñones is, you know, like they force you to ask questions and they force you to stay organized and communicate. So it's really, if Hector Herrera drifts wide, who picks him up? Is it going to be one of the holding midfielder? Because he'll start in the middle and then drift wide. So that's a big question. Amin Bassey is another one that will find those pockets of space. So the communication has to be absolutely lights out. And so I wonder where we set up shop and try to win the ball. To your point about what we did against St. Louis, allowing them to have possession, I could see something very similar. I mean, if it ain't broke, then why fix it? So I could see us trying to concede some of that to Houston as well. Obviously, Griffin Dorsey's done an excellent job on the right side. Last time we played him in Houston was early September. Mm-hmm. And they had Escobar playing right back. I'm looking at their lineup right now. And Dorsey just gets up and down a little bit more. So if Corey Baird plays and he tucks inside, like how do you deal with any numerical advantages that they're trying to create out wide? These are questions that have to be answered in training. And thankfully, but I don't know, we have like 8 weeks until the next game, so we have plenty of time to prepare for it. But it's going to be a great, great challenge. I mean, if Alan Pulido scoring two goals like he did last time we were in Houston, that's a great, great sign. So getting him involved, obviously, and getting him meaningful touches and bringing other players into the game, it's pretty simple, boys. That's all.
Yeah, it'll be exciting for sure.
It'll be a good game. It'll be a good game. Houston's a very good team. I actually think whoever gets through this will make the final.
Ooh, there's a spicy take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you were on the USMNT.
I was.
You captained them a few times. You're the captain. What's it going to mean to you when the U.S. is a joint host for the World Cup in a few years and even getting some games here in Kansas City?
Oh, it's incredible. The fact that Kansas City got named as one of the host cities, so much warmth, makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. So it's great. I mean, it just proves what a destination our city is for the beautiful game. And so I'm excited that FIFA recognized that. That's one. Secondly, you know, I was in high school when the 94 World Cup was in town, and it just plants seeds for inspiration. It's going to plant seeds for the next generation that I want to represent my country in that type of competition. I want to play at the highest level. And to be able to, we couldn't afford tickets, my family, but I would go outside the stadium at the Rose Bowl and go to Old Town Pasadena, which is kind of the area where the Rose Parade is, where everybody basically hangs out. And when Brazil won it, I went to Old Town and all the streets were shut down. Brazilians were like losing their minds. There was music, there was drums. It was something I had never seen attached to any other sport or sporting event. And when you get to be introduced to that type of love and passion and enthusiasm for the game and how much it means to people all around the world, it impacts you in a positive way. And I'm hopeful that it will inspire the next generation and really kick on to, we're a sleeping giant in the game. Everybody knows it around the world. We are a sleeping giant. And once we start to really produce world-class players on the regular, which I think we're very close to doing both on the men's and women's side. And women obviously have been dominating for a long time. For them, it's about maintaining that. But for the men, it's going to be very cool to see us kick on. And I think that the World Cup will be a huge catalyst for that.
For sure. And the World Cup being an Arrowhead, it's probably the biggest sporting event since, what, I don't know, the 2004 U.S. Open Cup final in that stadium?
Well, until Taylor Swift showed up for Travis Kelce, I think. Yeah. But Yeah, no, I think you're right. For soccer itself, definitely sure. Going to be so massive. And what's really cool, and I don't know if Kansas Cityans know this just yet, maybe the people that follow the team, of course, and the people that listen to this podcast, but for those casuals that are outside of the bubble a little bit, you can't help but just get sucked into how special a World Cup is, especially when you're hosting a game. And so I really can't wait for that type of ripple effect that hosting those games are going to have on the whole city overall.
It's always kind of wild. You get your non-soccer friends texting you. They're like, okay, so is this like a one-off game?
Yeah, exactly.
Penalties?
Yeah. Exactly right.
Well, Jimmy, thank you so much.
Oh, that's it. We're done.
It went by fast. I know. We're hitting our time.
It's all good. No, I appreciate it. And let me talk because I'm a talker.
Oh, for sure. We're going to have you back for sure at some point in the future. Where can people find you?
Well, if you want to, I should apologize in advance for anything that you see on social media. But at Jimmy Conrad on most social media platforms. And I have fun. I do a lot of fun stuff. And I'm very grateful for kind of the second career that I've had to be involved in the beautiful game in this way and to get paid to talk about it. I'm happy to accept their money. So it's great.
And you're on Morning Footy with our buddy Alexis.
Oh, yeah. I'm on Morning Footy and he's great. Yeah, I try to pop on there as much as I can, or if I can go in studio, I'll do that too. And I just love what CBS is doing to grow the game. I mean, to have a 24/7 soccer only channel is amazing and much needed, I think, in this country. So yeah, to be a part of that family is very, very cool and a big honor.
Awesome. Well, Jimmy Conrad, sporting legend, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. We'll have you back soon.
Let's go, Sporting. Taste the rainbow, baby. We got him. Let's beat Houston Dynamo.
Yo.
That was awesome.
Jimmy Conrad. First of all, biggest takeaway. Hey, yeah, I know. I see you guys around.
Yeah, okay. That was pretty cool. I don't even know if you said that on air. I think you might have told us ahead of time. He's like, I know you are.
I was like, well, dude, that just goes to show you. It's a big reminder of like, just because people aren't talking to you or engaging with you doesn't mean they're not seeing your gorgeous face. Like, that's just, it's what it is.
Yeah, well, your gorgeous face. My face is just here.
Buddy, look at that coiffed hair. That's looking good. I got a little messy bun, like I've been cleaning the house or something.
It was great to talk to him, though.
He wants to come back. He brought it up and said, yeah, maybe on the, you know, for the off season. It's like, no take backs. No take backsies. You have to.
Well, and one of my favorite things in talking to Jimmy Conrad is it's such a unique perspective to get somebody who not only has been a player, he's played for this organization, he's played for this coach, and he has a different perspective than a lot of us fans do. So he has like, yeah, this is the good and this is the bad.
But he also sounds like a fan as well.
Oh man, I love it. His ability to engage and I love the passion that he still has for Kansas City. Even though he was born in LA where I was from, but he like you said, lived a bunch of his life here. And the fact that he's still saying we, and he's got all the SKC memorabilia and the Wizards jerseys that he played in, and he's still got on, and he's trash talking St. Louis. That's what helps grow this rivalry in this game more than it already is now.
Dude, I also picked up a little couple terms for him that I would like to start using.
Okay.
First of all, so-and-so is a different kind of gravy. kind of a fan of that. I was like, okay, writing that down in my mind.
Yes.
And, He said something about a donkey ball or something. I don't remember that. But the gravy thing, that stuck with me because I was like, mashed potatoes.
He's so energetic and he's so smart about the game that like I could literally, we talked to him for what, half an hour? And we probably talked to him for another hour or two. And even when we ended, he's like, oh, it's done because I had more
questions. Ended him.
I
ended him by ending him.
But we, you know, we hit time. So,
I mean, he's a sporting legend, dude. He's a legend of the game. We didn't even get into the fact that he's coaching a USL League Two team right now.
Yeah.
They like made the playoffs last year, I think. We didn't even get to talk about that. I feel so bad that we just couldn't. It's not enough time in this thing.
So we're going to have him back in the offseason. We'll do a deep dive with him, like you said. And I got to up my background game because you were both on point with the background
that
Terrell had set up.
Yeah. His is dope. Mine's just like, hey, look at all the money I've spent on shoes and scarves.
I have some ideas in mind, so we'll see. We'll see. It's my off-season project.
Or you just buy a green screen and have whatever background you want.
That's true, too. thank y'all so much for listening with us, and thanks again to Jimmy Conrad for hopping on and talk with us for a little while. We're going to be back next week to break down in more detail this game with the Houston Dynamo, figure out what we need to expect.
Should we get another guest?
Well, maybe. We'll see what we can do. We might try to get a guest. We'll see. I'm going to be traveling over the weekend, so we'll talk scheduling next week, but it might be a little late. We'll see. But thank y'all so much for sticking with us and for listening. Thank you if you left that 5-star rating and review, even if you shit talked KU on there. That's, you know, we appreciate the rating and the review.
Yep.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at nootherpod, at Dan Kuser, at JCMax03. Shoot us an email, nootherpod@gmail.com. And check us out on YouTube, KCSN Soccer, or on the Kansas City Sports Network app, and check out that KCSN merch. Until next time, he's Dan. I'm Jimmy. We'll catch y'all later. See ya.
You know those No Other Pod boys? They're a whole different type of gravy.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.